The Benacasa family are a blessing. They have been a blessing to First Assembly, Central Assembly. It's not the first time I've done that. They've been a blessing to Central Assembly ever since they arrived here and became a part of our church family. I love their kids, the way they are devoted to serving God and using their talents for the Lord. And we're just really blessed to have Joe and Mary Benacasa with us this evening. They've been pursuing some ministry in Italy. They're getting ready to go again. This one is quite a daunting trip as they prepare to take a team with them this time. And so they're going to be telling us all about that in the next few moments, and then we're going to gather around them and pray the Lord's blessings. They're also going to be telling you about an Italian dinner that's coming up in the not-too-distant future, and I would encourage you not to miss that. If you like Italian food at all, this is the real McCoy. It's not Chef Boyardee. Well, it may be Chef Boyardee. I don't know. He might have been a full-blown Italian, but anyway, it will be homemade food, all for the cause of missions. I'll let Joe tell you about that tonight. But let's warmly welcome Joe and Mary Benacasa.
Buonasera, mi fratelli e sorelle in Cristo. Mi chiamo Giuseppe Benacasa e questa è mia bella moglie Maria. È benissimo essere con te questa sera.
Good evening, ladies, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Joseph Benacasa. And this is my wife, Mary, and it is very good to be here tonight.
Bella moglie, beautiful wife. She's being humble. She didn't repeat that. Actually, Mary and I were debating whether we should do the whole service this way, me speaking Italian and her interpret, but we decided not to for two main reasons. One, she doesn't speak Italian very well, and two, I speak even worse than she does. So we decided to spare you of that. Besides, it would take twice as long with an interpreter. I have over 2 hours worth of material to cover tonight, so I didn't want to keep you that long. Actually, before Mary goes to her seat, she did want to greet you in her own words.
Just want to say thank you for having us here tonight. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to have this time in your service to express our desires and our passion for Italy and ask you to pray for us and just join us in that support.
Thank you, honey. It really is a great, great privilege and honor, I feel, to be here tonight. I do want to thank Pastor Don for entrusting me with the service. I'm just blown away by that opportunity. I got to admit, I'm a little nervous standing in front of you. I'm a little intimidated. Some of you have been in the ministry longer than I've been alive. But I know that you'll bear with me, and hopefully you'll learn a little bit about the ministry in Italy. We're going to cover tonight just a couple things. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to talk very fast. I'm from New York, so you need to listen fast, okay? So we want to get through everything. But we want to tell you a little bit about the ministry of Italy that you saw up there. We want to tell you a little bit about our testimony and our future goals, and then we would really, really covet your prayers tonight. We also wanted to show you that slide presentation because that's the ministry in Italy. And if you took out the pictures of the Colosseum or the Grand Canal in Venice, most people would not recognize that as Italy. But Italy is actually the fifth largest economy in the world, and because of that, a lot of international refugees flock to Italy looking for a better way of life for their families. They come from Eastern Europe, they come from Africa, Asia, even South Americans are there. One picture of me preaching, my interpreter was from Brazil. And he was interpreting for me in Italian. But unfortunately, they arrive in Italy, and there's no jobs to be found. It's really, the economy, like the rest of the world, is pretty stagnant right now. There's not a lot of openings. And the Italians, to be honest, are not really happy that they're there. And so they end up doing very menial jobs. Guys that come in very well educated from their home countries end up taking jobs as cooks or housekeepers, gardeners, nannies. And they and their families live in one little room in this wealthy Italian's house, working for this wealthy Italian. And it's a very, very depressing life. They're in dire straits. The good news is that because of this, they are very open to the gospel. And so we've been having great success in winning these people to Jesus. La Assemblea di Dio in Italia, or as we would interpret it as the Italian Assemblies of God, we affectionately refer to them as the ADI, A-D-I, ADI. The ADI is actually a very vibrant church in Italy. It is behind the Eastern Orthodox, it is the largest Protestant church in Italy. And it is also by far the biggest and healthiest Assemblies of God church we have in Europe. It's very old, it's been around a long time. Back in 1908, two Italian immigrants wandered into the Azusa Street Mission Revival. Got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then decided to bring the Pentecostal message back to Italy. And it's been growing ever since. The Assemblies of God, along with, unfortunately, the Jehovah's Witnesses, are the two fastest growing religious groups in Italy right now. So there's some good news there. I'm sad to say that the Jehovah's Witnesses are right there with us, but we are having an impact. As good as ADI has been in reaching Italians, though, they have not been very successful in reaching these internationals. And there's a lot of debate as to why. Some people would tell you it's the culture. Some might think it's the resentment that they're being overrun with immigrants and they're not trying. I don't know what the reasons are. All I know is that in a typical ADI church, there's a very, very low percentage of internationals there. So probably 15 years ago or more, the ADI asked the U.S. missionaries to try to focus on these people. They'll reach the Italians if we would reach the non-Italians. And so we did. We started the International Christian Fellowship Churches. I don't believe they're just in Italy. I think they're certainly all over Europe, and I think maybe even outside of Europe. I'm not sure. But basically, these are English-speaking churches that have an Italian interpreter. And chances are, if you're living or working in Italy, you're going to know one of those two languages, either Italian or English. So we can really reach most of the people there that are in there. And there are millions. There are literally millions of people in Italy that are from other countries that are looking for a better way of life. So the missionaries, we have 9 missionary families in Italy. They have planted so far 5 ICF churches in some of the major cities. We have churches in Padova, where we're heading. We have 2 in Rome. We were in one of them this past April. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. We have 1 in Florence and then 1 in Verona. But there are some major cities in Italy with very high populations of immigrants that have no ICF work. Milan is the second largest city in Italy, has no work. Naples is the most highly populated, densely populated city in Europe, and they have no ICF outreach there. They really want to get one in Naples soon. In fact, we were asked to go to Naples and start one. So, but that's down the road. There is a definite need for workers in Italy. What I love about the ICF churches, it's a little slice of heaven, as I would call it. When we were in Rome, there were 50 different nationalities represented in that church. And whenever someone visits, they always have them stand and introduce them, tell them what country they're from. And we had over 50 in the 3 weeks we were there in Italy. So it is really like preaching to the whole world. It's really, really an interesting thing. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the ministry in Rome. We went in there and we were invited by Mike Hopkins. Now, Mike and Loretta Hopkins are one of 2 missionary families in Italy that Central supports, the other one being Warren and Laura Van Dolsen, and their parents actually go to this church. So, but anyway, Mike invited us to come over and fill in, and it was just an incredible 3 weeks. I mean, we felt like we died and went to heaven. It was a dream come true for us. But, you know, the messages that we preached, the ministry that we did, the responses were just, they were just so hungry for God. There were altar services were packed, many first-time commitments. It was just really exciting. We would go out, you saw some pictures of us at the Termini, the main train and bus station in Rome, street witnessing with them, and just people are open because they're hurting and they're in dire straits. And so it's a great ministry to be a part of, and we're really, really anxious to get over there and be a part of it. This upcoming trip we have that Pastor Don mentioned, we're very excited about. We have been supplying Steve and Patty Gray with some of their ministry supplies for the last 4 years. This year, we're actually going and helping them for the first time. We're going to be there 4 of the 7 weeks. And what they do is they put on this VBS to the children in the Padova area. Padova is a very old city, like most cities in Italy. It's very old. It's got a lot of history. And there's a lot of outlying towns. And there are a lot of immigrants living in this area. And it's not far from Venice. It's about 40 kilometers from Venice. And so the Greys have been putting on for, maybe 10 years. I really don't know how long it's been going on. A 7-week VBS every summer. And they target these unsaved kids, these unchurched kids from the city, and they invite them in. They have to cut it off at 120 because of the space limitation. In fact, we were just Skyping with Steve and Patty on Saturday, and they said they have to find a new church. They're busting at the seams. So it's a good problem, but it's still a problem because things in Italy are very expensive. So in any case, they do this VBS, and how they attract the kids in is they do the VBS in the morning hours, they feed them lunch, and then in the afternoon they teach them English as a second language. And all of these parents of these kids want them to have a better life than they've had, and they believe if they can speak English, they have a better shot. And so they are willing and very faithful to bring the kids in for 7 weeks and drop them off. We have them all day, it doesn't cost the parents anything. And then we teach them about Jesus and the Bible, and then we teach them English in the afternoon. It's a great idea. And a very high percentage come to Christ every year. In fact, Patty told me last year, all 120 made commitments to Christ. So it was just a wonderful ministry. And so we'll be doing that. I'm bringing a team of 8 other people with Mary and I. And it's going to be just, I believe, a very fruitful trip. We just cannot wait to get there. So we would cover your prayers on that. I got to tell you a little bit about how we got to where we are today. Because I have to confess, I'm an accountant by trade. I came up here to work with AG Financial, but God has been working on my heart and about Italy for years. And we have been working with our 9 missionary families for the past 4 years. We've been corresponding with them, trying to raise money for them. We pray for them. And when opportunities present themselves, we try to go and work with them. Well, on June 4th of 2011, I'll never forget it, we actually had Pastor over our house for lunch, and when he left, I checked my email, and there was an email from Mike Hopkins, who at this point I had never met. I talked with him on the phone, and we emailed each other, but I never met him. And he said to me, just one line email, Joe, how would you like to fill in for me for a month next year when I'm on a mini sabbatical? Well, I was like, me? I'm not even a licensed minister yet, you know? Later on he told me, I knew you were not a pulpit minister, but God had put you on my heart. So Mary and I really prayed about this, but we knew it instantly. This was an open door from God. This is a desire of our heart, is to do something like this. And so we said, yes, we'll go. So we started preparing. I got my credentials. And as we're preparing, it became very clear that this was not going to be a one-time thing. In fact, it became very obvious that this was going to be a full-time ministry for us one day. And shortly after that, Bob and Lynn Rose, who were also in the slide presentation at one point, they're also in Rome. They pastor a different ICF church in Rome. They invited Mary and I to come over and work with them for 2 years, and then we would go off and plant a church in Naples or some other place. So this sounds all exciting, but I got to be honest, I was scared to death of this because I was new to ministry, in full-time ministry, and I've heard all my life, I did not grow up in a Christian home, but all I ever heard was, you can't do it, you're not good enough, you're not qualified, blah, blah, blah. And I learned something through this. I learned that if God opens a door for a task for someone, he's going to equip that person to do the task. And in my heart, I knew that, but in my head, I kept thinking, I can't do it. I could think of 1,000 people more qualified than me to go to Italy and do this. And I almost had like the Moses syndrome. Send Aaron, God. Send Aaron. I can't speak. Send him. So, and this was really, really weighing on me because I wanted to be obedient to the Lord, but I could not get over this little hump that said I can't do it. And so one day we went to we try to get to the 5 o'clock prayer meeting here every Sunday and pray for the needs of the church. And this one Sunday last fall, this was really weighing heavy on my heart. I decided that after I was done praying for the needs of the church, I really need to really confront God with this because I can't go on like this. But before I go into that, I got to tell you, that Sunday I was reading through the book of Isaiah. And I was supposed to read through chapter 46. And unfortunately, I ran out of time before church, and I only got up to chapter 44. And then after the Sunday morning church service, we went home. We had company that day. I didn't get to it before I knew it. It was 4:30. I had to bring my mom back to Maranatha and then get here by 5. So I didn't have time to finish reading. So anyway, I go and I kneel down and I pray for the needs of the church with this nagging thought in the back of my mind of me going to Italy full time. God, how you must have made a mistake. It can't be me. So when I was done praying for the needs of the church, I decided I'm going to need to pray about this. And so I started praying fervently. I says, and it was a very short prayer because I ran out of time, but it was very, very direct. I says, God, if you are calling us, you need to remove the mountains in our path. You need to break down the bars. You need to open the doors for us to go. And you need to provide the money to go because we don't have it. You know, and if you're calling us, you need to do these things. So that was the end of the prayer meeting. That was the last prayer I prayed. I got up, sat down in my seat, and I noticed Mary was reading her Bible next to me. So I thought, I got a few minutes before service. Let me read chapters 45 and 46. So I opened it up. I turned to Isaiah 45, and I didn't get past verse 3. And let me read it to you. Remember the prayer I just prayed. I promise you that was the order I prayed it. Remove the mountains, open the doors, provide the funds. This is Isaiah 42 and 43. I will go before you, and I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. I was blown away. I mean, I was like, I had never had a prayer answered that fast in my life. And I was like, and I showed it to Mary. Now, she didn't know what I prayed. I showed it to Mary. She goes, that's nice. You know, she had no idea what I was talking about. But when I told her, and then she realized, wow, this is an answer to prayer. So since that day, that October day in 2011, we had never questioned. God, we know. We know you're opening this door. So now we're basically waiting. We're waiting for God to open the door for us to go. And since I'm probably the most impatient person I know, this has been a real struggle for me. So I'm going to ask you guys to pray for us that we'll be patient, we'll wait on God. We need to wait on God. But we're very excited about it. We know that God has a wonderful ministry awaiting us, and we're preparing, we're studying Italian. I'm finishing my credentials so I can become ordained, and we're just waiting for the door to open, and we're just very excited about it. I wanted to just close with telling you a little bit about this trip to Padova. We are, like I said, bringing a team. We are trying to raise money to make this happen. And as Pastor Don mentioned, we decided to put on a Italian dinner. And what this is, we did this last fall. It was a tremendous success. It's going to be right here at Central. It's going to be April 22nd. We're selling tickets for $10. And if you come, you just tell us what you want and when you'll be here, and we will make it for you. It'll be like a restaurant. When you come into a restaurant, there'll be music playing in the background. It'll be a very nice setting. We are selling tickets tonight, and we'll sell them for the next few weeks. So if you would like one, if you'd like to come and support us, you can. At the dinner, we're going to have a basket there. If you feel so led by God to put in an offering, you can do that. But there's no pressure. You don't have to do that. But we would like you to come out. And then the other thing we'd like you to do, on your way out, we have a table set up out there. We have our prayer cards. They're actually bookmarks, and it has our contact information and our picture on it. If you would pick up one of these, and please remember to pray for us, because we can't do this without your prayers. We know you guys are a praying group, and we really need you to come behind us, because we can't do it in our own strength. So thank you so much for bearing with me and as I stumble through this, and we just appreciate you very much. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor.